Check your pockets. Look inside the couch cushions and underneath the seats of your car. Welcome to Front Range Spare Change. Here's Dustin and Clayton.
Clayton, my friend, how does it feel to be 3-0 in profiting weeks to open up college football?
We want winners. Yeah. Hey, it feels great, right? Three weeks in a row we've come on top, and you can't ask for a lot more than that, especially with the nature of college football anymore. I will take it and run with it.
Yeah, I'm happy. So 4-3 last week, 9-6 overall. I would say that is, if we were to stay on that same trajectory for the entire year, I think we eclipse what we did last year.
We'll be superstars. Absolutely.
I'm pretty happy with that. Yes, I'd be the first time in my life I've ever been a superstar at something.
Even when you were 7 dressed up as Superman on Halloween?
Valid point. So, Willie, we've got another short slate for you here. So we're going to give you a little recap. Last week, we might as well start out right now with a controversial one. Catch? No catch? CSU-UNC?
Got to believe the Bears won that game. That so many times you see a video replay and you see a call that could go either way, and it's ruled one way or the other, and that's fine. This one, it was not one of those.
Yeah,
the Bears took one there. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have a good relationship here at the studio with Coach Ed Lamb, and we are recording Tuesday night like we usually do. Coach is going to come into the studio twice tomorrow. He's doing the podcast with Brady in the morning like he usually does. He's going to hop on the morning show. And I will 100% be tuning in because that guy's as straightforward and as likable as it can possibly be. I went to CSU for a little bit, so I have a weird relationship. But man, did I feel bad for Ed. That could have been a Scott Van Pelt moment on SportsCenter, like a 35-point dog winning a ball game.
Yeah,
that's a earth moving thing for UNC.
So do you think Brady's going to ask him about that?
Oh, no chance.
Yeah,
that's straight to. I think they got South
next
Dakota.
Point,
yeah,
next up.
we're on to Cincinnati. we got a couple games at a preview here. We have Colorado, Houston, Wyoming, Utah, Air Force, and Utah State, and then we're going to give you a little special for the late night go around. I'm not going to lie, I like it. Already.
It's a little early for trick or treat, but we have got a treat in store for you. Hey, how about that corn popping last week?
I heard it
from here.
That guy is on to something this year. That corn is going to be loud and angry all year long. I'm turning into a little bit of a believer in that program.
Yeah, they've got good things going on there in Lincoln. This week, We tune in first Friday night action. This is CU, the Buffs at Houston, the Cougars. +5, 44.5, 5:30 this Friday. So the Cougars, I guess they don't roll into town, but they stay into town, and they are 2-0. They beat a Stephen F. Austin, whatever that is, and they beat some Rice. 2-0. The Buffs, 1-1, as we know, suffered the Georgia Tech loss. Georgia Tech, that's a ball club.
Very good team.
And then Delaware, Blue Hens, they knocked them off 31-7. So what do you think about this one, Irby?
So it's quarterback carousel. Nobody knows. I did watch the entire CU-Delaware game. You can shame me all you want. They're already for that one. But to me, if Ryan Staub is named the quarterback, that changes everything. So Ryan Staub, to me, is the only one that can actually use the Pat Shurmur offense efficiently. It's the closest thing to them looking like Shador did last year. Juju, I don't think, got a real fair shake. They tried to run the ball quite often with him and his two series that he got. And then Caden Salter, to me, he's just inaccurate. He's electric with his legs, but he wants to sit in the pocket, and I don't think that's the best way to use him, and that's what Pat Shurmur wants to do. So for me, it comes down to that. I'm not worried about this team. I just wish they'd have this figured out by now.
Well, the old colloquialism that everybody spits out.
That's a
that,
big word.
This sort of thing. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. A lot of syllables. if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got none. If you've got three, what do you have?
Right.
I think you got to run with somebody. At some point, just, put your foot in the ground and say, this is our guy, because too many different styles come into play, and the rest of the team just has a hard time gelling around that, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. So the stance that we took on this game, I'm going to assume that Ryan Staub is the quarterback because, Coach Prime in the post game on the field interview grabbed Ryan Staub into that interview and said, you got to interview this kid. To me, that tells a tiny bit of the story, and maybe I'm just reading too much into that, but I'm going to think that that Coach Prime thinks that Ryan gives him the best shot, and that's kind of what I think too. So we're going to lean into that, I guess. We like some points, though, here. Both of these teams are kind of adequate offensively and kind of adequately defensively, other than Houston. They haven't played a single person, so I'm not wading a whole lot into this. But they are third in the country in allowing explosive drives, so you kind of got to muddle your way down the field. And to me, that's Ryan Staub's category again. And they're 26th against the rush and 13th against the pass. I do think, obviously, Colorado is, five times the better opponent than those first two that you listed. So I like a little bit of the Buff side of things, so I'm going to kick it off with over 2.5 touchdowns with a little plus money here. What do you think there?
I like plus money. That's exactly what I think. And that is plus 142, it looks like. Talking about the quarterback situation for CU, they have three different quarterbacks. When they run up against a defense that is shutting one unit down, they've got options. And maybe that's a good thing. I'm not exactly sure. But I got to believe that the Buffs are going to put up some more points than what they have been. And I got to believe that Houston is probably not as good as what their record may indicate, just for the fact that they played a couple of opponents that, one FBS, one FCS team. But to me, this is going to be a good one. I got CU over those 2.5 touchdowns, and I've also got over 44.5 for the game total.
Yeah, and see, and I like that too. I think that the offenses are going to shine just a little bit more here. You're a couple weeks in, you probably have a little bit of momentum going. Houston's got to feel pretty good about themselves with two, not impressive wins, but like they're solid wins. They got to feel okay in the locker room there.
Well, they're putting up 35 points a game, 392 yards per game, right now. That's a lot of offense, and it's not like they're playing middle schoolers out there. These are real college athletes that they've been playing against.
Yeah, for sure. So sounds dumb, but I want to be all in on the Colorado side, but these Houston kids are going to be amped for this. This is going to be a big game. The show always comes with Coach Prime. That's the ESPN. That's the interviews. That's the primetime networks covering it. So these kids are going to be ready. This is their time to showcase. And that's where I think the offenses are going to kind of take that leap forward here. Give me over 44.5 with you there.
Yep. I think that's pretty easy to run with. Houston's defense appears overwhelming, but I think that's just a thin veil right there. I don't think they are quite that good. So I think CU, in order to put up the points, they're going to lean into the passing game. And I would expect, some very high efficiency passing, quick outs, bubble screens that lend to quarterback success.
Yeah, they got to drop those screens better. There was, probably 5 to 7 of them against Delaware that were just blown up because they were just either poorly executed or they just didn't make the first guy miss. And I think that just gets better in time. I don't think they're going to stop running it. I don't think it's bad offense, but I think they just run them too much for me. So I like these two plays. Give me over 44.5. Give me over 2.5 touchdowns for the Buffs at that. What, plus 142? Is that what you said?
Plus plus 142.
Love it. Those are going to be our two plays for CU there. What do you say? What's the next game? Is it
Utah and the Cowboys? Utah Cowboys.
This is an interesting game, and just for my Go Pokes, I got to play a little bit.
Woo! There we go, Go Pokes.
So I'm actually a little impressed with Wyoming. I think they are getting back to what it was a couple of years ago. They're putting up yards on offense, which is solid. They're not amounting to a whole lot of points yet, but they did look a whole heap load better against Northern Iowa, which I don't think Northern Iowa is a huge slouch. Do you?
No, Northern Iowa is always a force in the FBS, and you've got to give them some credit. I don't care who you are. You've got a couple of teams here, both 2-0, right? Both undefeated. This could be pretty exciting, really. Utah comes in with a scoring offense. It's top 10 in the nation, putting up 43 points per game. They are pretty darn explosive. The Cowboys have been impressing me lately, and quite frankly, I'm glad to see it. Maybe deep down, maybe I'm a Cowboy fan a little bit, but I liked what they did against Northern Iowa, putting up 31 points, and 10 points on Akron, just, that first out of the gate, maybe knocking the rust off a little bit. But against Northern Iowa, very good. And I always say this at the beginning of every year, that it just seems like the defenses come out fast and the offenses just take a couple of weeks to catch that same sort of pace. And I think this sort of game really lends itself to not only the Cowboys, but also the Utes to put up some points. So in that vein, I look at this over 48.5 at minus 110. Weather's going to be up there, nice up in Laredice. There are going to be a lot of Laramigos in the stands. And I'm taking over 48.5.
Yeah, I can battle with that. I think both of these are competent teams here. I like the Wyoming side of these short numbers. I get it's Utah. They're probably, considerably better, I guess, for lack of better terms.
They don't suck.
Yeah, correct. I think that's a very good football team. But these numbers are short for Wyoming for a home game. Over 1.5 touchdowns is the line, and over 12.5 total points is the line.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Not at 28,000 feet or whatever they are up there.
And in college ball, it leads to the offense if you can manage yourself. Like, there's always mistakes. There's not. Maybe outside of Ohio State, Texas, maybe a handful of the big boy teams. Like, none of those teams to me can be that great. And I don't think Utah sits in that category. And I think Wyoming here is going to put up some points. And I like it. So give me Wyoming over 1.5 touchdowns scored. And give me over 12.5 of their team total. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this is done in the first half. Like this could be a quick one for it. They're just that short of a number.
Yeah. One thing to consider, and this is when Irby and I sit down before we record, we talk about a couple of things. Wyoming over 12.5, we both agree on this. If they're going to get there, it's very, very likely that they're going to score two touchdowns in order to get that. So Wyoming over 1.5 touchdowns at plus 110 money, that's a way to double up, so to speak, and that gets on my board.
Yeah, I agree. I actually enjoy all three of these. There are I was just looking at my phone here while Clayton was speaking, and there are a couple spots out there where you can get over 48. So shop your numbers. This is something we should probably say a little bit more on this program. But there are, 10 options in the state of Colorado now. Like, you don't have to put all of your money into one of them because there's a large difference between 48.5 and 47.5 in a football game. So if you can find it out there that is different, so be it. So it is searchable around there. We settled on 48.5, so that's where we're going to be. But come game time or a couple days down the road, if you're looking at it, literally always take the better number. Don't just take verbatim what we have, unless you're getting a considerable better price. If we're over 48.5 minus 110, and then 48.5, you know, on Saturday becomes plus 125, 130. That's something.
Yeah, and look at the magic numbers. 13.5 is a whole lot different than 14.5. You know, 41.5 is a lot different than 42.5, et cetera, et cetera. And if if you've ever got any questions or if there's anything that we could possibly help you out with, please look us up at FR Spare Change. We'd be more than happy to interact a little bit and give you our thoughts on what might be a better play.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're confused on a number out there, or if we say, you know, Wyoming's team total is over 12.5 and then come Saturday it's 14.5, my thoughts on the game is probably going to be a little bit different. And we can react in real time for whenever your viewing pleasure, whenever you get a chance to place your wagers is. So things are always moving in this, and it's early in the week. And we encourage it. Hit us up anytime. I most of the weekends I will be gone this weekend, but I know Clayton will answer some questions. I will still have my phone on me and be around, so you might catch me at a decent time. And we will always try our best to get you the best answer that we can, I guess.
You know, I am going to be live in Laramie with my eyes on these Cowboys and Caden Anderson.
All right.
Yeah, you know, putting up 427 for the year, 3 touchdowns, and the rushing game. You know, Sam Scott with 132 yards last week, or against Akron, I should say. You know, catches my attention.
He runs mean.
Should have equated to points in that game, but easy come, easy go.
Yeah,
that's the game of football, I suppose.
Yeah.
But one kid that Utah has, Devin Dampier. He's a dual threat guy, and I had a little bit of a hard time not believing that he didn't go NFL last year. I thought he was that good. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Where was he last year? That's a familiar name. Wasn't he a Mountain West guy?
Yeah. So
New Mexico.
Yeah. He was, he was a Utes quarterback and then Lobos.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So I was right. Yeah.
So
I think I actually like these plays. This is probably my favorite game that we broke down here. Wyoming over 12.5 team total, Wyoming over 1.5 touchdowns scored, and over 48.5 for that game total. I think it all happens.
Lots of overs, but hey, it's a fall. Let's celebrate. Let's get some points.
Yeah, absolutely. Last real full game that we're going to break down of our front range teams here. We got Air Force and Utah State. I think this deserves it. They were good in the first week.
Absolutely. The flight plan for this week is to take your 1-0 record, beating the Bucknell Bison.
Bucknell.
Yeah, the Force heading to Merlin Olsen Stadium playing Utah State. Utah State 1-1. They beat UTEP and then they lost to A&M. Beating UTEP doesn't say a whole lot. Losing to A&M, it gets my attention a little bit. It was not a complete blowout. It was 44-22. So take that for what it's worth. But A&M definitely a powerhouse, and who knows what they had in mind there. You know, the day in the age of putting up style points is basically over.
I've seen that go two ways the last couple of weeks here. Either teams are set out to really put it on you, like Nebraska put it on Akron, or there's the teams that just they kind of just punt the week. They know that they're good enough to probably get it done, but they're scoring, 14 to 21 points or so less than that they would if they were to be full bore at it. It's a weird thing. I didn't see too many of the like big spread games become incredibly blowouts or incredibly tight, other than really, I guess, CSU, UNC. It's a weird thing in college football right now. I don't, it goes two ways. I guess that maybe that's a coaching style thing. Maybe it's the backup players. It shows your depth of talent. I don't know, but it's wild.
Yeah, there are plenty of opportunities out there for both of these teams to score some points. Air Force really impressive in that first game, and I know they were playing the Bison, but Josh Johnson, 112 yards passing you know, two touchdowns. Cade Harris, 149 yards on the ground, three touchdowns. That's old Air Force football right there.
And those are two efficient Air Force football guys. That's going to be a heck of a combo all year long. This might be too early, but I really do think Air Force can be in that conference title game at the end of this. I'm going to learn an awful lot on Saturday in this game because Utah State, I don't think, is a big-time slouch by any means. But,
Utah State is just kind of meh. Mm-hmm. You know, they give up so far in the year 25 points a game. They put up 25 and they give up 30 points a game, which puts them, you know, bottom third of all of college football. One game to work with, but Air Force, you know, stuck 49 points on the board. And that's a lot. But more than anything else, the way they did it with a balanced attack gets my attention. And defensively, you know, very good as well. So this thing, to me, is going to hinge on, just like a lot of Air Force games, it's going to hinge on the opponent's defense and their rushing defense in particular. And right now, the Aggies, Utah State, are giving up 169 yards on the ground. That's about 100th nationally. So that lends itself to Air Force having a big day.
Yeah, my big old algorithm here. I have Utah State as 126th against the rush, 124th in allowing explosive drives, and 99th against play-efficient teams. You want to know what Air Force is?
Lay it on me.
They're all of those things. their play efficiency is 43rd in the country and on the ground right now. They're 65th, but obviously they've played just one game. So that's a team that looked cohesive on the same page to start with. Troy Calhoun very rarely has down years back to back. And we think, you know, down year, you know, they were still 5-7 last year. I mean, they started off really bad.
Well, to begin the year, we thought they may not ever win a game. They closed the program, you know?
Yeah. And the way they turned around the end and then the performance that they put up to start with just makes me think that they're all ready to go. The best numbers that we could find here, I like Air Force over 13.5 team total in the first half.
That may just be my favorite play of the week. I like that one a lot.
Big fan of that.
For multiple different reasons. But you talk about an Air Force team that is disciplined, you know, and that's just the nature of the Academy kids down there. And they are playing a team that is precisely not disciplined. The Aggies are giving up almost 75 yards of penalties so far this year.
Yikes.
So that just tells me they are out of sorts, that they've got confusion going on, and that they are trying to find themselves a little bit. I see a stat like that, and I begin to eat up the other side. In this case, we're talking about Air Force. And I see this, you know, the offensive scheme that Air Force puts on somebody is something that you just cannot prepare for. It just isn't. That triple option is so hard to defend.
It's physical.
So, yeah, it's physical. It's weird. You know, when you see that from the defensive perspective, it's like seeing something you've never seen before. You know, you've tried to resemble it as much as you can in practice, but that you just can't do it live. That's why I think Air Force getting out quick. 13.5, magic number again. I see them picking up two touchdowns. That covers that. That's a minus 125, I believe. Yep. Another one that that I like is Air Force just for the game, minus 4.5. That's a pick that I'll take for sure.
Yeah, and I actually like a lot of points in this too. I think Utah State is a competent offense. Their defense is really bad. So I actually think there's going to be some explosive plays in this. Years past, and, you know, obviously, like, Air Force is going to dominate the clock a little bit. But they lend some pretty big chunk yardages on the defensive side of things. So I do think Utah State puts up some points here. And I actually like the game total. I like over 50.5 as well.
You know, what's something that kind of is contradictory to what you might think? When you look at an Air Force team, you think ball control, they're going to have it for, you know, 45 minutes a game or something like that. This year's team is a little bit different. Right now they rank 44th at 31 minutes and 38 seconds worth of ball control for the year. So that tells me that, yeah, they're controlling the game, but they're doing it a little bit differently. So it's not like Utah State won't have a chance to score in this. So to that end, I like the over, too.
Yeah,
like over 50.5.
Army was one of the best offensive teams in the country last year, and they are very similar to what I see out of this year's Air Force. You see it out of Navy, too. I think it's Blake Horvat is the quarterback for Navy. Also a very good offense this year. I think they're top 20 already so far, ground through the air. So they've added some wrinkles to this to where it's not just the triple option every single time. You got to be on your toes where they'll throw it over the top on you and you're in trouble. And those guys are running free because that's all you're thinking about is the run game and the dives and all of those. So there are some wrinkles in this. So it's not the traditional 45-minute games of them just four plays or 4 yards at a time and just having 15, 16, 17 play drives and things. So
kind of seems unfair.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this style of offense, honestly. I watched a little bit of Navy last week. I watched a lot of Army last year. They were one of my favorite bets because the books never caught up to them. They're just on the same page on the algorithms like they are with this Air Force things, and it just the points never catch up. You can catch a lot of good numbers on these military teams.
It's funny how that works. You see a program. I remember years and years ago, Gus Malzahn at Arkansas State. You know, and in his goofy offense that, you know, just basically played pinball with the scoreboard. And it just takes a while for people to catch on. And he covered a bunch with that team, you know, just for that simple reason.
Yeah, you can find some sneaky things out there that, especially like with my own money, honestly, like I play a lot of off the wall games because the books don't put a whole lot of effort into it. They're a lot sharper on Ohio State and Texas than they are Arkansas State Army. You know? So, yeah, you know, always look around. Take a look and find a process you like. Obviously, you know, I like a lot of my numbers. Clayton likes looking at feel things and some historical data, and we seem to arrive on an awful lot of the same side. So there's plenty of ways to do it. That's what we encourage. Find things that you like to look at that are important to a team winning a football game and how you want to bet. I tend to lean to a lot of the overs, so I look at a lot of offenses versus defensive stat. If you want to watch a punt fest or things that are good defenses and capitalize on the other side, go backwards. You know, there's a lot of ways to shake the tree and catch some change in this world on this.
For sure. And the last way that we're going to do it tonight is it's a three-dog night, the late night get right. How about this?
8:30 our time. Three ball games, and I think they're actually going to be pretty good games here.
They really could be. I'm actually probably looking forward to watching these ones the most. Maybe not my most favorite plays of the day, but for TuneIn football, this is going to be a good one. You got Texas at Texas State, I should say, at Zona State, Minnesota at Cal, and then Boston College at Stanford. Every one of these, 8:30.
You know what? Comes out at night.
Winners.
Underdogs.
Underdogs.
Catching points late at night.
Absolutely.
I enjoy this. So what I'm going to do, we're going to play these three games, and I'm going to round robin them. You can parlay them. You can play them straight. I don't care. We're going to have fun, though. I'm going to round robin them. Give me Stanford plus 12.5, Texas State plus 14.5, and Cal at home plus 1.5.
It's just,
how does that lose?
It is so tough to beat somebody, a dog at home. Late night, the crowd's going to be going wild everywhere. You got, you know, three big-time stadiums this is held at. So yeah. It's not, you know, a 20,000-seat arena. We're talking about, you know, 60, 70,000 people probably going crazy. And why not?
Why not? So these won't go on our official record, but we always love our friends in Hawaii and the late night slot, and we don't get that this week.
We don't get the song this week. We got to play the song just for
you. We want to play the song. How about just a little piece of it? Huh? We got it, right?
You got three games. Three dogs.
Get these dogs over the rainbow.
Somewhere over the rainbow, dogs got to bark, right?
So we're going to have a little fun in the late night with that little special there. Like I said, won't go on our official record, but I mean, I don't know how do you cap off a Saturday better than that.
Nah, tune in to X at FR Spare Change. Well, we'll be live tweeting this or live Xing it or whatever you call it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So, little recap here: Colorado, Houston. We like over 44.5. We like CU to score more than 2.5 touchdowns. Wyoming and Utah. We like Wyoming over 12.5 team total.
Go Pokes.
Over 1.5 touchdowns scored. And over 48.5 for that game total. And then Air Force and Utah State. We like Air Force over 13.5 in the first half. I'm with you. That might be the best bet on the board there.
It's my favorite.
And over 50.5 and Air Force minus 4.5 there in that ball game. And let's see if... think we can go 4-0 on making a profit, start this thing off?
Somebody's got to do it. I mean, why can't it be us, you know? But the word of the day is points.
Points.
We need all sorts of points everywhere this week. Go offense.
Well, that'll do it for this this episode here. We're about a week away, I think, from getting to normal football, and I can't wait.
Yeah, all sorts of teams off, and you know the FBS opponents, this, that, the other. Let's get into conference play where it matters.
So ready. Here we are, my friend. Let's do it.
Let's make some money.
I mean, it's not hard. Push some buttons, watch some kids play some football.
Should be easier than what it is, that's for sure. But, you know, they need big buildings in Vegas, I guess.
That's true.